Okay, it's time to talk wheels. It's the Car Guy Show with automotive consumer tips, industry updates, interviews, and enthusiast news. If you care about cars, this show's for you. Now you're tuned in, so let's get tuned up with your host. Here he is, Steve Ford, the Car Guy.
Hello and welcome to another segment of the Car Guy Show here, coming at you from the broadcast tower of News Talk 990 KTMS and at the speed of light on the World Wide Web. We're connecting you to automotive consumer and enthusiast news, insights, and interviews anywhere you're hearing our signal in Santa Barbara and the surrounding communities. In today's program, the topic we're going to put up on the lift is a look forward into where efforts to shift away from petroleum and internal combustion engines appear to be all about electrons and hydrocarbons. Well, the battle showdown between electrons propelling EVs still requires power from some source. Hydrocarbons provide that internal combustion engine with 100 years of horsepower. But into the 21st century, along the way in the interim, we see where this bridge to tomorrow is not a simple margin of going from a gasoline station one day to filling up at a charging station the next. Of course, this is what puts us right where we are with the gasoline electric hybrid vehicles here in 2013. Now, where's hydrogen in all this anyway? After all, if hydrogen is the fuel of the future, one thing we do know is that it will likely be fueling the electric propulsion of vehicles, meaning electrons are the future, with arrows continuing to point to hydrogen as the most serious energy source. And this brings us to several key questions we're going to address today. How soon will we see hydrogen vehicles in our local new car showrooms? And when will we see the pending wave of hydrogen filling stations that we've heard will allow the famed hydrogen highway that we've heard is coming? And why should we believe any of this? The topic up on the lift for today's show. You tell us, hydrogen, what's the plan? Let's get to these questions and answer them and more straight ahead. Thanks for being on board for today's topic. You're tuned in to the Car Guys Show on News Talk 990 KTMS.
In the old-time movies, you used to see an automobile junkyard as a place with rusty old wrecks and big cranes scrapping obsolete machines. Those days were black and white, and today's a world of digital full color. And in the new era of the green car, Steelhead Auto Recycling is at the leading edge of used auto parts. As new and future cars approach 100% recyclability, more than 70% of even older car and truck parts find new life as they come back in service at Steelhead Auto Recyclers, which means huge savings for you. You'll save on major parts such as engines and transmissions, but you can also repair and refresh your wheels with money-saving body trim and accessory parts, from hubcaps to glass, doors, fenders, taillights, and accessories. With a full-service counter and national parts search power and the new self-service section at Steelhead Auto Recycling, you'll save both ways, plus the security of a full 90-day warranty on all parts. Digital on the web at buyused.net or analog by phone at 683-8557. That's 683-8557. Steelhead Auto Recycling.
When it comes to keeping your wheels looking like new, whether you're a passionate car buff or a daily commuter who simply seeks the best in value and integrity, there's a name in Santa Barbara that fits both profiles: Tri-County Auto Glass. Today's auto glass installers all have to service more sophisticated and precise automobiles than just a decade ago. And while the majority of auto glass businesses have state-of-the-art tools and equipment, what we all know is harder to find are the industry-certified craftspeople and the highest levels of customer service, which is why Tri-County Glass customers range from Concord Elegance level show car owners to everyday family sedan and pickup truck owners. Rock chip repairs or glass replacement with lifetime repair credit and 30 years in Santa Barbara, while a positive word of mouth reputation may bring you in, courtesy, quality, and that new window glass shine will bring you back. Tri-County Auto Glass, downtown Santa Barbara. Call them or stop in for a quote on a window repair or replacement today. 963-6200. That's 963-6200.
I'm Scott Budo, owner, manager, and a certified auto glass technician. At Tri-County Auto Glass, we are about quality, safety, and value.
All right. Hydrogen is the topic up on the lift for this segment of the original Car Guys Show, right here on News Talk 990 KTMS. We'll move in for a close-up on another one of the aspects of transportation that you may find is closer than you think. After all, we're in 2013. Now, weren't cars supposed to fly by now? Well, the idea of cars putting out nothing but a harmless water vapor in the exhaust shouldn't be that far away, right? Which brings us over to cars and the environment. We move into talking about the future car world and the environmental issues that come up today over and over again, whether it's the recycling of the vehicle, the parts, the components, the compatibility of the vehicle with the environment. Certainly from the hydrocarbons of the 20th century, we look toward electrons into the 21st century. And for today's topic, we're going to look into the hydrogen world, the fuel cell world that we hear so much about. But you might wonder, reading in between the lines or wondering in the editorials and op-ed pieces that might come out, we know the technology's viable. We have challenges to get hydrogen into the infrastructure of our nation and around the world. Is hydrogen the fuel of the future? And there's a joke tagline that I've heard that says, hydrogen is the fuel of the future, and it always will be, meaning that it's an elusive fuel. The reality is, if you get into the world of hydrogen and fuel cells and this technology, there are a lot of stakeholders in the nation and in the state of California very dedicated to bringing hydrogen into the mainstream. And to help us today to go closer is the executive director of the California Fuel Cell Partnership, Catherine Dunwoody. She has led the organization from 1999 when it was announced as a fuel cell vehicle demonstration program. Today, the California Fuel Cell Partnership is a globally recognized leader in promoting hydrogen fuel cell vehicle commercialization, meaning bringing it to market and making it viable. And Catherine leads the Fuel Cell Partnership team. Prior to her role as executive director of the California Fuel Cell Partnership, she worked for the California Air Resources Board. And Catherine has a Bachelor of Science degree in biochemistry from the University of California, Davis. Catherine, welcome to the Car Guy Show.
Oh, thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here.
And interesting background. I noted that a biochemistry degree from the University of California, Davis, by the way, a premier school. But what a perfect background for you coming into the world that you're working in hydrogen and fuel cells. Biochemistry must give you a leg up when you're talking to people.
Well, we certainly are talking a lot about chemistry, of course, and engineering, and having that science background is indeed very helpful on the technical front.
So you're in your element.
I would say that Most times people think that I have an engineering background.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I like to say, as they used to say, you know, I'm not an engineer, but I play one on TV.
Excellent. And to be an organizational person, you have to deal with the management, the business, the political process. You're near Sacramento. You're in Sacramento.
Yes, we are just across the river from downtown Sacramento.
Okay. So, I can picture Old Town and the big river boat sitting there, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like going back to Mark Twain's days.
Yeah.
A mile or two away, you have the international geopolitical building of the state capitol dealing with 21st century issues like this. The state of hydrogen in California and across the nation. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger was a big advocate of hydrogen, the hydrogen future. And I imagine people look at that era of his leadership as a governor and wonder what accomplishments were achieved by his administration and others, obviously the other staff and Governor position leading forward into today with Governor Brown and beyond today, their policies and their mandates and their things that are going on that perhaps the public catches in the business news or environmental news. Can you bring us right to where we are here in 2013 and set the needle pointed forward on how fast, how much, and when? Where do we go from here?
Well, today, you know, we have hydrogen fuel cell vehicles on the road being driven by customers here in California every day.
Right.
They fuel at hydrogen stations right alongside gasoline pumps. They're filling their cars with hydrogen fuel. So this fuel and this vehicle technology is here today, albeit in small numbers. And our challenge that I'm working on with our members is to bring this to the early commercial market in the state of California as really a launch point for this new technology in the United States.
As sort of a beacon of technological hope and accomplishment, at just setting the record for others to follow?
Yeah, California, you know, clearly I think many of your listeners are probably aware that California has been a leader in advanced vehicle technology.
Yes.
And really pushing the industry to reduce emissions and to advance technology. They, of course, adopted a zero-emission vehicle regulation.
I'm thinking 1990 was an initial proposal, but I'm vaguely recalling that in 1998, wasn't a zero across the board. I think it was the electric vehicle mandate had to be postponed, but in 1998 there was was it 5% electric vehicles?
There was a 2% requirement in 1998,
yeah.
And they, over the years, they have made numerous modifications to the regulations to accommodate the, you know, technology developments that were occurring. So, for example, this I think many would agree this regulation has spawned a lot of the technology that we see on the road today with hybrids, for example, which weren't really envisioned as part of the original program. But then again, the whole low-emission vehicle program that the zero-emission vehicle was a very small piece of really spawned a lot of the advanced transportation technology that we have in our conventional cars today that allow these very extremely low levels of tailpipe emissions. In 1990, the Air Resources Board adopted the low-emission vehicle and zero-emission vehicle regulations, and the first requirement placed on the automakers for zero-emission vehicles was 1998, which was subsequently
And that modified. Was the 2%? That was the 2%?
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
So 2% of the state of California's fleet was aimed and proposed to it be implemented in 1998. However,
right.
they were
new vehicle sales.
And that was pushed back a bit for technological accommodation, sort of the companies that were saying, hey, we want to do it, but we need some more time.
Right. Okay. So, you know, the car companies in their technological capability for innovation came up with a number of other technologies that could meet many of the goals of these regulations in ways that, of course, were never envisioned. And so today we have a wide variety of electric drive technologies, everything from conventional hybrids, which are now in really the mainstream of vehicle sales, to plug-in hybrids, to pure battery electric vehicles, and, of course, hydrogen fuel cell electric vehicles are also electric vehicles. It's a very important point. If people don't normally think of, you know, people think of an electric vehicle as being one you plug in, and that's not the case with a fuel cell vehicle.
Well, let me
but
back
it
up,
is
though.
Electric drive.
And I think you might appreciate the audience's curiosity in stratifying this with us. It was, for most of the 20th century, it was hydrocarbon, gasoline-powered V8s, four cylinders, 12 cylinders, whatever the internal combustion engine was configured, however it was configured to perform. And you just named, I think, four or five different platforms that are available today in the evolving effort to make a bridge between the hydrocarbon internal combustion engine and the future, let's say, electron-driven by whatever power source. So you mentioned plug-in hybrid, full EV. Can you please, if you would, just for me and the audience, take us through that we have the golf cart is what the quote-unquote picture of the early, you know, the 20th century, that's what a lot of people thought we'd be driving, and they were apprehensive about it, you know, the sort of the golf cart kind of an image of an EV. But you touched upon the plug-in hybrid and the other three or four different platforms. Would you mind just giving a sentence or two about each one of those to define them?
Sure. We're certainly way beyond the, you know, the early image of what an electric vehicle is. We have some very high-performance vehicles out there. And
right.
Many of the plug-in vehicles are on the market today, so I'm sure your listeners are familiar with the Chevy Volt, which is a plug-in hybrid.
Right.
You can drive a certain distance that's solely on electric, you know, stored energy in a battery, and then you also have the engine to take you beyond that smaller range.
Right.
Then, of course, the full plug-in battery electric vehicles that have no gasoline at all
on board. Like the Nissan Leaf.
The Honda Fit, Toyota RAV4.
Right.
I'm sure I'm leaving off some important ones, but those are the ones you may be most familiar with.
Right.
Along the lines of pure zero-emission vehicles, we have the hydrogen fuel cell electric vehicle.
Yep.
And the key differences between the hydrogen fuel cell electric vehicle and the pure battery electric vehicle are the fact that you don't plug in the fuel cell vehicle. You refuel it with hydrogen.
Right.
And the performance of this vehicle is comparable to vehicles that we drive today that operate on gasoline.
That's right.
The range is extended to between 200 and 400 miles on a single fill of fuel.
And it sounds like even extending beyond many of the ranges of gasoline-powered based on the capacities and the fuel mileage, you know. So as much as 400 miles, right?
400-plus miles.
Yeah.
The refueling time is similar to a gasoline vehicle. It's a matter of minutes for refueling the tank as opposed to waiting hours, say, for the battery to recharge.
Right.
And then the types of vehicles that we have for, you know, the fuel cell technology are generally larger platform vehicles. So, you know, mid-size to full-size sedans and small sport utility vehicles. But this is a technology that can be scaled way up to heavy-duty platforms, for example, transit buses, and even there's some port operation trucks. So they're, you know, heavy-duty trucks, 18-wheelers that are operating in and around ports that use hydrogen.
Now, let me ask you, just as the audience is listening, and for folks that might have just tuned in, we're talking with Catherine Dunwoody, Executive Director of the California Fuel Cell Partnership on the Car Guy Show. We're talking about how that unfolds, that topic of hydrogen and fuel cells, into the infrastructure and the roadways of California. And Catherine, I just want to let folks know that who might have more recently tuned in, you mentioned that there are a number of fuel cell vehicles being driven in California right now by your stakeholders. And so that brings up another question. There's a number of places to fill up. So let me just quantify, if I might, to try to frame this topic a bit for California here in 2013. How many fuel cell vehicles? Do you have a number, approximate, active on vehicles driving on Highway 5 or rural suburban streets or the Bay Area or LA or San Diego? How many vehicles are traveling in California that are operating on hydrogen right now with fuel cells?
We have about 250 vehicles
operating
on hydrogen in California. These are being leased by customers primarily in Southern California, but also a few in Northern California.
Yep.
And they're, you know, regular commercial retail customers for the automakers who offer these vehicles.
And then another question that's logical back-to-back on that is, all right, there are about 250 vehicles, folks, running on hydrogen through fuel cells right now. And the next question I'm thinking of is how many places to fill up? It sounds like in Southern California there might be a certain concentration. How many do we have?
Yeah, most of the stations are in Southern California, and we have 9 that are publicly available today.
Okay.
And these range from places that only offer hydrogen fuel to places that offer hydrogen right alongside gasoline and other fuels.
Okay.
We are working very hard with our government partners to make sure we can get to a network of 68 hydrogen stations, primarily focused in the early market communities, but also in key destination and connector locations that will allow people to travel throughout the state.
So will there be a concentration along a corridor, let's say Highway 5 or Highway 101, or is it in the metropolitan Los Angeles? What's the picture?
Actually, there are 5 key communities, and these are pretty large, broad communities, but they're 3 of them in the Southern California area, so the Orange County and Irvine area, Torrance, and nearby beaches communities, as well as West LA area. And in the Bay Area, the South Bay, kind of Silicon Valley, and East Bay, Berkeley area of Northern California. Now, that's where the automakers expect to find most of their early market customers for the fuel cell electric vehicles.
Yes.
So people who live in those areas need to have a very convenient experience of fueling their car.
Yes.
We've, through modeling with our university partners and analysis of infrastructure needs for a variety of different fuels, we've identified overall 68 stations needed to fill out that network. Most of them are in those 5 main regions.
And, of course, here, just midway into 2013, as I understood, we have 9 stations in Southern California. So that shows the audience that there's a long way to go, but that plan is in place. And when will those 68 be? Is that statewide, 68?
That's 68 statewide,
okay.
And we have been blessed with great support from our state government in terms of incentive funding so that the small and medium-sized businesses who operate fuel stations in our state can afford to put in a new fuel like hydrogen.
Yeah.
And with the incentives that are in place, we expect we'll be able to get at least halfway to that goal. And we're currently working to secure additional incentive fundings and commitments to get all the way to the goal.
So by the showroom date of 2015, 2016, if you're going to be buying a car in 2015, you can actually be considering a hydrogen vehicle. And knowing that there will be fuel stations along your drive in Southern California as you become one of the influentials to lead the pack, right?
That's right.
It's a reality that not only is the fuel cell platform viable, but we're moving into the infrastructure of having distribution centers. And 9, obviously, is a long way short of what's going to be needed to allow us to move into hydrogen as a mainstream fuel. But I wonder if we might go out to a break, and when we come back, when we can start seeing these vehicles, what kind of cars they'll be, and where and how easy is it to fill up. Obviously, you mentioned a bit about that topic. But maybe the issue of even obtaining the hydrogen, where we get it and where we go as we go forward. Can we do that when we come back?
Sounds great.
Okay.
You're tuned in to the Car Guys Show on News Talk 990 KTMS. We'll be right back. Hey, you know about getting the job done right. If you want it done right, do it yourself. Well, that's what car and truck buffs, owners of classics, custom cars, and wise consumers know when they visit Daily Car Buff, Santa Barbara's downtown coin-operated car wash supercenter for more than 40 years. After discovering Daily Car Buff for my own cars, I've returned to give my machines the superior wash and cleaning care that all car buffs appreciate. At Daily Car Buff, you'll find premium hog's hair wash brushes with conditioned soft water and five stalls with foaming high-sudsing auto shampoo that literally floats debris off your vehicle's finish, along with consistent high-pressure washing and available non-acid, low-pressure wheel and tire cleaner. And for that special finish, DI&I spot-free rinse to help dissolve and eliminate mineral spot and spray wax formulated with clear coat protectant included in the cycle. See why Daily Car Bath is known as the place where customers send their friends. And take it from a fellow car buff. When it comes to the best in car care appearance, you'll find it all at Daily Car Bath, open 24 hours a day at the corner of Anna Kappa and Coda Streets. Quality, economy, and that showroom shine.
Change your life in a big way.
Well, having a mentor saved me. I did not have a father in the home, and my mother was ill most of the time. And Brent really is a great listener, and he really provided that extra leadership that I needed to really grow and become the person that I became. He's a great big brother.
Volunteer or donate to Big Brothers Big Sisters. We need bigs, especially men. Start something. If you're a former big, start something again at BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
And you're tuned into the Car Guys Show on News Talk 990 KTMS. We left off talking about the general nature of hydrogen vehicles as a overview of how they fit into the current fleet that evolves from the internal combustion hydrocarbon engine. I want to talk about as a bridge going away from that into plug-in hybrids and full EVs, full electric. Plug-in is the option to be able to have a vehicle that you can park in your driveway and charge overnight, or in a high-speed charger. But getting right to hydrogen, what I think people must wonder, and please go any direction you want to go, Catherine, but I wonder when. So we talked about what. Let's go into when and how will we see hydrogen vehicles come in the future. What's the good news coming up ahead?
Sure. Well, we've had a number of the automakers announce their intention to bring fuel cell vehicles to the early commercial market beginning around 2015.
Wow.
And different companies have made different projections, but 2015, 2016, 2017, we are going to see hundreds, thousands of vehicles coming into markets around the world, and California is one of those markets. To prepare for that, we need to make sure that we have an infrastructure in place that enables the customers who will purchase and lease these vehicles to have a similarly convenient experience fueling their cars
right.
as they do today with the gasoline vehicle.
Right.
So unlike with a plug-in vehicle, you might put a charger in your home. The fuel cell vehicle will rely on a publicly available fueling infrastructure network similar to what we have today for gasoline.
Hydrogen has an electron and a proton, but no neutron, right?
Yeah, the proton exchange membrane works by disassociating the hydrogen molecule, which is a diatomic molecule, and it splits apart the electron because the electron is too big to go through the membrane.
Now, pardon me.
So there's catalysts involved.
Yeah.
The proton can go through the membrane.
Yeah.
The electron has to go around, and that creates an electrical current, which drives an electric motor.
Which is great. But you said diatomic, right?
Two atoms.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. I just thought I'd say that, you know, for class is in session on understanding hydrogen. So hydrogen is a diatomic molecule.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. You know, you live with that. For me, it's, now I'm going to go walk around for a day or two walking up to people and say, hey, how's your diatomic molecule working, huh? Or you're going to have a fuel in the future that has a diatomic molecule. Did I say it right?
Yep.
Okay. Some basic fun with the simplicity side of
no
it, trying to simplify that chemistry. Okay, so we take hydrogen, we put it in the proton exchange membrane, we have the future. In 2015, 2016, you said we're going to be seeing vehicles coming into the California highways. How will that look? Toyota and Honda have both, I think they have, as I've seen in the media reports, they're both stepping forward to make some commitments to 2015, 2016 right in there. Are you
yeah,
able to?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have heard very strong statements from Toyota with regard to their intention to launch this product in 2015.
Yep.
In 2015.
Yeah.
We also have seen, you know, strategic alliances develop. So, for example, Toyota and BMW, as well as Daimler, Ford, and Nissan, that are working on, you know, large volume launch of technology. In their case, in the 2017 timeframe, Hyundai as well has already started serial production in low volume of the their fuel cell vehicle, which primarily is being launched in Europe initially, but will also be coming to California. And you know, they are similarly looking at the 2015 timeframe to ramp up those volumes. So it is, you know, all kind of within that window of time, and then, as long as you have the network in place, you can refuel quickly in a matter of minutes. It's very similar in terms of the customer experience as they have today with a gasoline vehicle.
How is hydrogen made? It's different than importing oil. How is hydrogen made, and what are we looking at as far as its safety? Can you tell us about the fuel?
Sure, absolutely. So hydrogen is an energy carrier. It's similar to electricity in that regard. And you can make it from many different sources, just like we make electricity from many different sources today.
Right.
You could have electricity from natural gas. You can have electricity from renewable energy. So similarly, with hydrogen, you can make hydrogen in many ways. So one of the main points I'd like to make is that hydrogen is not new. We use a lot of hydrogen today in the United States and around the world in industrial applications. Most hydrogen today is made from natural gas. And most hydrogen today is used to make gasoline so that we can drive our cars. So it's used to refine oil and to clean up the gasoline. So hydrogen is, we have a lot of experience with hydrogen. It's a very mature industry and, you know, very safe industry. What's new is hydrogen for customers to fuel their vehicles in that kind of retail application. The real challenge is then getting that retail infrastructure built. But hydrogen today mostly is made from natural gas.
And how is it stripped out? Is it steamed out? Is it steamed out?
So it's a process called steam methane reforming. So natural gas is primarily methane.
Right.
And what happens is you've got catalysts involved. Catalyst makes the reaction go forward.
Right.
You have heat, and you have the methane molecule and steam, water.
Right.
And what happens is that the methane molecule, which is CH4 for all your chemistry lovers out there, it splits into CO2. So it takes a couple of oxygen molecules from the water, makes CO2, and then four molecules of hydrogen. So you do create CO2 when you're creating hydrogen from natural gas. And sometimes I hear people say, well, you know, that's not zero emission because you're creating these emissions from the steam methane process.
Right.
And that's true. But what you need to look at is the total well-to-wheel emissions profile of all fuels. So you've got to look at the fuel production out, you know, to get what we call well-to-tank.
Right.
And then you've got to look at the fuel utilization in the car.
So the net-net kind of thing. Of what,
total life cycle.
Right. Or we could say more commonly for folks that know the term footprint. At the at the end of the cycle, you're saying, I think in effect, the CO2, the net CO2 production from hydrogen as a fuel is below current fuels such as gasoline.
That's absolutely true. It's about 50%. It can be more depending on the vehicle that you're looking at and the efficiency of it, but it's... it's about 50% as a good rule of thumb.
That's great.
And
that's,
interestingly, it's even lower than, you know, because sometimes people say, well, why not just burn the natural gas in an engine?
Yeah.
Well, it's even lower than that. It's about 20% lower than burning natural gas in a combustion engine.
And statistically.
The reason for that is the fuel cell drivetrain is so efficient.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's an electric drivetrain.
Right.
And so you're gaining a lot of efficiency in using the fuel on board.
Yeah. Out of all this, Catherine, what we're talking about is something that points to a really serious fuel that is not the fuel of the future, and it always will be. It's a fuel of the future, and we're seeing it into the platforms that people will be buying in showrooms around 2015, 2016. And if I'm correct, Catherine, we'll also be seeing hydrogen-powering cell phones and appliances and things in the future in the same way. Not the same timeline necessarily, but am I correct to say we're still hearing about fuel cells powering our cell phones?
Absolutely.
All right. Catherine Dunwoody, thanks so much for your time on behalf of the California Fuel Cell Partnership.
Thank you, Steve.
And thank you all for joining us for this segment of the World of Wheels. And this brings us to the close of another visit with all of you here on the Car Guys Show. Join us here again next week for another segment from the Coastal Riviera right here in Santa Barbara. News Talk 990 KTMS and video travels and archived shows at thecarguy.com. Keeping you car wise, I'm Steve Ford, the Car Guy.